I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Hakeem Bellamy. He's the Albuquerque Poet Laureate, and he's joining us by phone. And here in the cafe is Daniel Banks. He's a poet and theater artist. The two of them will be reading their poetry tonight at Momo and Company on Johnson Street in Santa Fe tonight at 6:30. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. So how did the two of you come together?
Should I take that one, Daniel?
Sure, go for it.
Sure. So, and then when I leave out, you can plug in.
Okay, sounds good.
But I joke that with Daniel, when I met Daniel about 500 times before I actually met Daniel, and a lot of the work that I'm doing, because, you know, geographically based in Albuquerque, has been with theater companies like Trick Lock Theater, and just working with different organizations and foundations that do a lot of, that support a lot of the work that I do here. And once people knew that I was interested in hip-hop theater, and they'd known me as a hip-hop artist, but when I would talk about Urban Verbs, we often describe it as a multimedia hip-hop theater production, everybody, then the next thing out their mouth was like, you have to meet Daniel Banks. And I was like, I know, I keep hearing about Daniel, but I'm starting to think he's like Peter Parker and Spider-Man. Like, I hear about him, but I never see them. Like, we're never in the same room together, right? And it wasn't until, oh my gosh, early this year, there was a convening by Little Globe, which is an organization that both Daniel and I are affiliated with. I came up for their creative transformation workshop. And lo and behold, one of the facilitators is Daniel. And I'm just like, you know, you meet people when you're supposed to meet them, you know. And we hit it off really well. At least that's my impression. Daniel might think different. and I immediately just felt, I not just professionally, because Daniel does a lot of the things that I'm really interested in academically and artistically, but as a person, I think we just kind of connected on a level, and really, we'll talk about later how the show came to be, but that was Daniel's idea that, okay, we need to create an activity that will make us work together, like, you know, and this was boring.
Absolutely. The first meeting, Hakeem, was, I definitely knew that we were going to be doing a lot of good work together. You have that spirit and that energy about you. It was so obvious. And I think actually this event tonight was born out of the wonders of synergy and synchronicity. We were having lunch at Momo and Company, and a big shout out to Leslie and the staff at Momo and Company. It's just one of the greatest. Yeah, really, it's one of the great spots in Santa Fe. And you and I were talking about we should do something together, and Leslie wandered over, and we just looked at her, and we all looked at each other, and we're like, okay, great, we're going to do it here. And we just started planning right then and there. It was perfect. The timing was perfect.
Now, Daniel, you've written this book, Say Word, Voices from Hip-Hop Theater, which is an anthology of all kinds of hip-hop voices. How did you come to this whole type of theater and hip-hop and all that?
Oh, wow. Well, I know we only have 20 minutes. I edited the anthology and wrote the critical commentary and brought together the plays. I've been affiliated with the Hip Hop Theater Festival in New York since its second year, which was 2001. And through the work that I had been doing with my students at NYU and through the directing work I had been doing with colleagues and poets and friends in New York, this movement sort of emerged, erupted, and then it got named, and then there's a crew of us, an ever-expanding crew of us, who are interested in seeing the theater be used to represent the voices and the arts practices and the politics of the hip-hop generations, because since hip-hop has been around since the early 70s, and it's a continuation of other art forms and political movements prior to it, This is not a flash in the pan. This is something that's now historical and international, and really has an ethic about social justice and youth liberation. And so I've just been part of it from the beginning. And eventually, I was asked by University of Michigan Press to put together an anthology of plays that represented the breadth of the work being done in the field in the United States. And thus the book was born.
Now, Hakeem, you write in your new book, Swear, some of the poetry is very much about being a member of your generation, people born in the 80s. And I was wondering how you kind of came into, as Daniel was talking about, the ethic and politics and aesthetics of hip-hop from somebody of your age group?
Sure, that's a great question, Mary Charlotte. And I think that I just left, yesterday just left the classroom that I was talking about a similar thing with 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, and talking about how, you know, my generation was actually, I'm 1978 when I was born. Yesterday was my birthday, you know, and we were the first full generation that was born into hip hop. You know, if we, there's lots of conflicting accounts, but the beginning of hip hop being in the mid to late 70s, at least when it landed on our mainland, and all of the other island influences that created that here. You know, I was born in 78, so my generation was the first generation that was like, didn't know anything else. Like, hip hop had always existed when we were born. And it's interesting that, you know, we could get all philosophical and talk about modernism and postmodernism and yada, yada, yada. But that was also the age of media. It was pre the information age. And so that 80s generation is very much a pastiche, very much where we kind of can pull from literature and music and film and all these things that impact our reality, also create our reality. And so I feel like a lot of what I do in my writing in practice is that, like, you know, tying in different themes, tying in different subjects, and making a mural of sorts, you know, which is very hip hop. Right. And I think that that's just how we think. And I have a 5-year-old son now, and I see him, and, you know, they intuitively know how to work an iPhone. And I'm like, I have no idea what your generation is going to be on. <You know?
laughs> I was wondering if each of you would read a poem. Hakeem, do you have something that you want to read us?
Sure. I was thinking about you, Mary Charlotte, and your audience, and I was fortunate enough to be part of an anthology that's currently coming together called 200 New Mexico Poems. And Lisa Hayes Jackson is actually a poet in Albuquerque. Her husband, Gary Jackson, is also a phenomenal poet from Cave. He went to Cave Canem, which is a kind of program for African-American poets in New York. But she took it upon herself last year in the centennial year to put together a book of poems about New Mexico. And through a submission process, she found 200 writers and 200 poems. And this is one of those poems that I have that's in that anthology, soon to be coming out on UNM Press. But it's also in my book, Swear. So, and it's called Children of the Sunday. The difference between sunbathing and bathing without water is subtle. A few degrees of separation when it's 104, you're 104, and the National Weather Service won't turn the community center into shelter until it's 105. Like home and homeless, subtle as the 6-degree separation in the air-conditioned window of a heat advisory, we've been here all along, standing outside for a very long time, people of scorched earth and plenty. We do not tan, we burn. Skin tone, palette of hues, gradient colors of a dancing flame, the only rainbow we're allowed without water, just sun. In the absence of white sand, called Children of the Dirt, starfront property by night, gaze into a sea of mountain from lawn chairs perched in grassless yards by day. This pyramid a mesa makes. This city elevates us, serves us like a shoulder and white linen to bronze sun gods far from shorelines and vacations. This is our gladiatorial sacrifice, where we enjoy salt and sea, people of prayers and pilgrimages, where water itself is a miracle. However, much more often here, many a miracle walk on without it. 800 miles from Long Beach, 1,400 miles from Tenochtitlan, baptized by both, blessed to be here.
Hakeem Bellamy, from his new book, Swear, and this collection of poems that's upcoming, which we will hope to get on the Radio Cafe when the time comes. Let's turn to Daniel Banks for a moment. Do you want to read a poem?
Sure, I'd love to. You never ask an artist if they want to do something and expect to hear no.
Oh, I just happen to have one in my pocket.
Exactly, exactly.
It's funny you ask.
Yeah, right. This poem was written actually inspired by a situation where a young child that I knew pretty well went missing for a period of days. And it really, his sadness and his struggle reminded me of a time in my life where I had similar desires to get away, and I hadn't really thought about it for a while. And so this is a poem that's sort of an amalgam of his story and my story. It's called Miasma. Boy adrift in a sea of why. Why didn't my parents want me? Why are other boys so cruel? Why do I speak English instead of... What if I just try a little of this? Will anyone miss me? Why am I so happy sad all the time? What can I do to make it, them, me, stop, just stop? Boy man cannot tell he has a future, cannot tell he is loved, cannot tell his father how much it hurts all the time, how much he wants someone to save him, how much he wants to disappear, to get as far from them, it, himself, as he can. A train to a bus, to a flight, to a smoke, to a sandwich, to a river, to a crossing, to a sleep, to no food, to no way back, to a bed, to afraid, to aware, to asleep, to a cop, stranger, uncle. A heart hurts. Our hearts stop. All at once, a nation, a fire, a loud, a call, a cry, help him, boy adrift, boy alone, boy all of us, our child, our hope, our heart, hour after hour, losing our boys, our girls, our children. How do we stop their pain? How do we heal the heart of a boy?
Daniel Banks, who will be reading tonight along with Hakeem Bellamy at Momo and Company here in Santa Fe. And I was thinking about the whole question of writing poetry and the tremendous craft and emotion and history and study that both of you bring to your work. And then the next question is the question of audience and getting it out there. And I was wondering if you could each talk about what your experience was of the culture of poetry and how that interacts with the larger mainstream culture. I mean, certainly in terms of hip-hop, we have anything but an isolated little kind of subculture. It's a gigantic, all-embracing and all-encompassing culture. But I wondered what, maybe Hakeem, you could talk about what your experience was of being heard.
Sure. It's liberating, right? It is... and I feel like for anybody who identifies with coming from the non-dominant part of society, so some people do that along color lines, people do it along gender and sexuality lines, religious, spiritual, cultural, ethnic lines. You know, I think whenever your voice is not the voice that we see on our TVs, hear on our radios 24/7, or what we hear on our radio is a caricature of us, and you're like, that's not me, though they say that to me, right? You know, and I feel like whenever you have that understanding, that media literacy even, about the world around you, then it becomes not just empowering in a political way, but it's exhale. It's a way to exist on your own terms. And that's what I like when I work with students. That's what I'm offering them. I'm saying, like, you matter. Your life is as important as Brad Jelena's, but you don't end up on the cover of the tabloid. So if you don't tell your story, no one else is. And then, in the academia, in the commercial sense, we can get into what's good and bad poetry. Are you selling a lot of books? And other people can bicker and quarrel about that. Like, that's the commodification. That's the business of it. But as a tool itself, and a practice, because I think to think of it more as a practice like yoga. You would think of yoga as a practice. It's a quality of life thing. It's a growth thing. It's a thing that we can make a part of our lives. And it's interesting that we've separated it academically from the rest of our lives. Like, we've known a lot of different forms of art. But for me, it's really a way to be. And to be in the world on my own terms and have a little bit of control and agency over how I'm viewed and what people think of me. And I'm lucky a lot of people go along and play along with what I'm doing, especially when the people who play along don't look like me and did not grow up in South Jersey or Philadelphia and do not have my same experience, but they can still connect to it. And just for me, like, that's the value. That's the beyond money is the value of what I think we do as poets, is that we allow people to connect to us, and in return, in a very selfish way, we get that connection to other people, you know?
What about you, Daniel?
Well, I had a kind of an interesting journey. In my 20s, I lived in New York and was really hoofing it like most people, and trying to make it as a theater artist and as a singer at the time. And the Velcro just wasn't happening. I would work for 6 months at really great theater companies and then have 6 months of no work. And I was bullied, I would say, into going to graduate school. I was teaching at NYU at the time and had a really wonderful mentor there who just would not let me off the hook. And I really, in retrospect, understand her wisdom, because what I say now to folks like Hakim, who I'm sort of trying to bully to get his PhD, is that you have a bigger pulpit. You're able to cross into more worlds than you might have access to if you just went the strictly artistic route. And what's interesting for me now with Tincture of Time is to see how it's circling back, and the doors that were not open to me in my 20s as an artist are now opening to me in my 40s because of having more confidence, having more experience, having, as you were saying earlier, more threads to draw from, more disciplines to draw from, and really understanding that whereas in my 20s it was about the hunger to prove myself, and to a certain extent in my 30s, now in my 40s headed not so distantly into my 50s, it's about relations, and it's really understanding that the work that is supposed to be out there will eventually get out there because of the relationships and because of, in a way, a community effort to get the work out there. I don't know that I've ever succeeded in doing anything on my own. I think it's always been, like with this performance tonight, it's always been in relation with someone else who together we say, we want to move this rock together. We're not going to try to move our individual rocks. And that's it's a beautiful thing to be able to reflect on. I mean, it's
kind of busting the American myth of self-sufficiency.
I think so. It also has something to do about returning to a notion of community that in some aspects of society we've gotten very far away from, but in other aspects, like with hip hop, it's put it back on the table. It's put it back front and center. The cipher, the circle, the community, your posse, your crew. I mean, these are indigenous models that are being woven back into modern society because we're suffering without them, and so we're looking to other cultures and other ways of living and knowing and experiencing the world to heal ourselves and to find our way back to where we came from. And
I mean, I think since that certainly the time of that, you know, that you and I were born, Daniel, and through Hakim's generation, we are on some level both completely using and fighting the post-World War II crazy luxuries that this country has made and the damage that is environmental and otherwise that has come from that system. Yeah. And like living in those paradoxes is something that we all have to deal with. And I think you guys, every poet and every artist who's thinking about that helps us to try to sort that out in one way or another.
And I think the important thing about that too is not, and I don't think you were doing this, but it's something I have to remind myself, is not to vilify a generation for their choices, because there were reasons why those generations held on to certain material safeties and securities, and
having been deprived of them in a way that you and I, that none of us can even imagine.
Right. That was also the Depression generation. They were like, hold on to everything.
Exactly.
You know? Right.
And I think that's one thing. I mean, I know you were asking questions about poetry and art, but I think that's one thing. That's one of the attributes of art, is that it can engage in a form of multipartiality, that we can actually...
Multipartiality.
Yeah, I like that word.
This is the first time I've heard it.
It means that we can hold seemingly contradictory truths simultaneously and not have them fight each other. You know, we can understand be compassionate and sympathetic with the experience of one generation while also making our choice in our generation, but not feeling like we have to destroy or attack that previous generation in order to build our own way. And I think that I think that's becoming more and more present in poetry and hip hop, is not the put down the previous movements, but actually embrace them, understand them, and build and understand legacy. Understand what do you think, Hakim? Do you see that in your work?
I agree. I, I think it's interesting, even in my own work, like I have one of the poems in my book is Generation. It's a very anthemic poem for my, up until yesterday, I'd say, who in here is between 25 and 35? This poem's for you. Now that I'm 35, I have to like change my introduction for that poem. You know what I'm saying? But it is really, it has that angst, that youth angst, that teen angst. Like my parents' generation came in and would be like, you know, your generation is the generation of video games and you're selfish and you don't do anything. And our generation was so perfect and we had women's lib and civil rights and yada, yada. And it was really talking back at that and saying, you know, you guys did a great job. I'll help you pat yourself on the back. But we're doing our change in a different way. And it's really like, it is that kind of sticking your tongue out, thumbing your nose at authority. And I've actually had people from my parents' generation come up to me after the show and be like, you know, I totally get it. I felt the way about my parents', you know, generation, but can you like ease up on us a little bit? You're kind of beating yourself a little bit. And it's weird, the conversations I have afterwards, but I always tell them, I was like, but you got to understand, my generation is also the generation that puts you guys on the pedestal. Like, we made you heroes. We talk about Che. We talk about King. We talk about these figures all the time. Like, you know, and we put them on T-shirts. And so it's like we're doing this hero worship, and then it's also the person we kind of want to attack, you know, which, you know, it's kind of like a different thing that we always kind of do with our elders or our parents, right? You know, it's equal
until
parts,
we
love,
until we
load.
Don't.
Yeah.
Right. You know.
Yeah.
So, but I think I think my generation, you know, feels that, and I think you see it in the music. I think you have a generation that also is going back to talking about the last poets and really these Assata Shakur in raps. I'm thinking about Common right now, but you know, and as conscious rap starts to shed that label, because we don't call the other rap capitalist rap, right? You know, and it's just hip hop and it's different sides. And sometimes I want money, and sometimes I want to buy local and be green. And there's a reality that most of us are in transition between being the person we are and the person we want to be. And we're starting to become more comfortable with that, instead of saying, oh, you're a bad person because you shop there or shop here, and saying, how can we move people? How do we make it less attractive to shop there and actually move people, instead of just saying, since you have means and can afford to buy local, you get to, and then we'll yell at the welfare mom who has to go to Walmart. Sorry. Like, that's what she can do. You know, all those people are part of my generation. And so how do we, like Daniel said, talk about that fragmented reality or that multi-partiality and embrace it and not separate each other by it?
Hakeem Bellamy is the poet laureate of Albuquerque. Daniel Banks is a theater artist and poet, and the two of them will be reading from their recent publication. Well, Hakeem from his recent publication, Swear, and then Daniel will be reading from his upcoming book, Shades, at Momo and Company at 229A Johnson Street in Santa Fe. It's tonight at 6:30. Doors open at 5:30 for coffee and tea and desserts, and there are going to be, ladies and gentlemen, gluten-free hip-hop waffles. Hakeem, can you explain to us what a hip hop waffle is?
I kind of just want you to say that three times fast, Mary Charlotte. That was fun.
Hip hop waffle, hip hop waffle, hip hop waffle,
gluten free hip hop waffle. Well, what's really cool, you know, when I met Leslie through Daniel, and us all being Yankee affiliated, meaning from the Northeast, New York area, was that she was just talking about the need for, you know, people who have certain dietary restrictions should like enjoy life too. There's no vow of lack of taste buds that you have to take in order to like, you know, survive on this planet if you don't agree with the glutes, right? You know, and so she really took it upon herself and her partner and the tea company that also is there, the boba tea that's also there, to say, how do we jazz this up? How do we create a different reality of this? Like, it doesn't always have to be this kind of pious sacrifice that people think they have to do when they're on a diet or a specialized diet. It's like, no, this can be good and good for you. And
all
so
right.
I really like that model of what they're doing and making it a treat and not, I have to eat this because my doctor said, but like, no, it's a treat. Treat yourself. Treat yourself great. If everybody treated themselves, we'd be a happier world.
Yes, indeed. So hip-hop waffles, poetry, and all kinds of other good things tonight at Momo and Company. And by the way, Collected Works is carrying Hakeem Bellamy's book, Swear, and Garcia Street Books has your, Daniel Banks has your hip-hop anthology, Say Word, Voices from Hip-Hop Theater. We look forward to seeing both of you and many of our listeners tonight, and thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. Thank you. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
And I'd like now to welcome Diana Delling. She is with the Lenzic Center for Performing Arts. She's with us many Fridays now, speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Well, good morning. Good to be here.
It's great to have you back. And we have lots of things going on this weekend and this coming week. What's some of the highlights?
We do. Well, it's a big Native Arts Weekend. Native Treasures Indian Arts Festival is going on at the Santa Fe Convention Center. There's a reception tonight, and the actual open to the public event begins tomorrow. It's Saturday 10 to 4 and Sunday 10 to 4 at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center.
That sounds fabulous. And the picture that we're looking at, that we're holding up to the microphone so that our listeners at home can see it, is really fabulous. Hey, another thing that's happening is that, let's see, today is the 24th, so tomorrow's the 25th. Tomorrow, the Pride Pageant is happening at 8 o'clock at Warehouse 21, and you can see contestants compete for the titles of Mr., Miss., Ms., and Mister Santa Fe Pride. And the crowns that go along with them, they will be modeling Pride formal wear. There will be a talent segment, and they will be asked to answer a stage question. Does that sound familiar?
Not to us personally, but yes.
Perhaps.
There's another great Native event going on this weekend, actually at the Museum of Contemporary Native Arts on Cathedral Place near the plaza. There's an opening exhibition that begins tonight. It's called Stands with a Fist, Contemporary Native Women Artists. Features seven Native American female artists and their work. Also, there's an exhibition called Facing the Camera, the Santa Fe Suite. It's portraits of Native American artists by Rosalie Favel. This is at the Museum of Contemporary Arts on Cathedral Place. For more information, you can go to iaia.edu/museum.
Excellent. And we have, of course, both a dog of the week and a cat of the week. I'm going to read the dog first. It's a little terrier named Nestor. He's a boy, little thing, 7 years old, maybe 12 or 13 pounds. And the owner had to surrender the dog because they had a new baby, and this little baby needs a new home. It's the sweetest dog. I'm looking at a picture of it right now. It's just a little fluff ball of delight. I would take this dog home in 4 seconds.
What color is he?
It's sort of tan with big brown eyes and a pink leash, I think. Anyway,
nice.
He's neutered, vaccinated, and would get along with another small dog, preferably female. He's microchipped, and he will be with Dew Paws Rescue this Saturday at the Agora Market in El Dorado from 11 to 3. So there's a nice dog adoption event out there at El Dorado, so check out little baby Nestor.
They bring the dogs right to you, so how can you resist?
Exactly.
Joshua Breakstone, he's a jazz guitarist from New York, and he is playing in a special benefit show for KSFR.
Yay!
This is the Joshua Breakstone benefit. Will be at Museum Hill Cafe on Museum Hill, 710 Camino Lejo, on Thursday, May 30th. It's 7 p.m., and you can contact KSFR for more information at 428-1527.
Awesome. And the Humankind Foundation, whom we talked about a week or two ago, they do incredible work for girls in Africa. And their executive director, Kristen St. Clair, is going to be at Collected Works Bookstore this Sunday at 11 o'clock. It's at 202 Galisteo Street. And the motto for their organization is, "To educate a woman is to educate a nation." And so they're doing terrific work, so you can check it out over at Collected Works Bookstore. And we'll get to more that's going on at Collected Works in just a moment.
There's a big concert on Sunday at the Santa Fe Opera. It's Lyle Lovett with Robert Earl Keen.
Oh, my goodness.
The two Texan musicians will be playing an acoustic sets at the Santa Fe Opera. It starts at 7 p.m. on Sunday. For more information or tickets, call 986-5900 or visit santafeopera.org.
And the Felines and Friends Cat of the Week is here again, ladies and gentlemen. This week's featured cat is named Sarah. She was rescued from an overcrowded shelter with her son, Corky. She's very playful and outgoing. She's an oriental short hair mix with classic brown tabby markings, and she's maybe 8 or 9 years old, something like that. You can call 505-316-2281. You can email askfelinesandfriends@yahoo.com, and you can find all sorts of other animals that are up for adoption. They have a website, too, fnm.org.
Everybody knows how much fun it is to go to the annual Nutcracker performance at the Lensic by the Santa Fe, by the Aspen Santa Fe Ballet. Well, this weekend, the school of the Aspen Santa Fe Ballet is having their spring recital at the Lensic. That is on Sunday at 6 p.m. There will be 150 students performing all kinds of types of dances, from ballet and jazz to one of the really cute ones, traditional Mexican dance, folklorico. And this is, again, at the Lensic, 988-1234 for tickets, or ticketsantafe.org.
Yay, Aspen Santa Fe Ballet. Yeah, I had them on the air a couple of days ago, and one of the students, and it's really cute because they have the littlest ones first.
So sweet.
And then they go up in age. Anyway, let's see. At Collected Works Bookstore, we've already talked about... wait a minute. I'm having... I don't know what's going on there. I have the wrong email. Go ahead.
I can tell you about a book signing. This one's at the Wheelwright Museum of the American Indian. Again, it's on Museum Hill, 704 Camino Lejo. Dwight P. Landman will be signing and talking about his book, The Pottery of Acoma Pueblo. This is Sunday, May 26th at 1 p.m. at the Wheelwright Museum of the American Indian. For more info, 982-4636.
Excellent. What else is going on? I got completely confused because they sent the thing a week in advance, and my brain exploded. Anyway, Reckoning with Modernism, new paintings by Shelley Horton Tripp, new quilts by Terry Mangat, readings by translator Sonia Cravagna and writer Tom Collins. Opening reception and readings are this Saturday, tomorrow, from 3 to 6 at the Reebok Mandelman House at 209 Reebok Lane, across from the Harwood Museum in Taos.
Taos, I know.
Always
Tom
nice
Collins.
To get Taos. Yeah.
Right, some Taos events.
Yep. Excellent.
Let me see. There's so much going on, but this is something a little bit different. If you are interested in learning the practice of dowsing, which, as we know, is looking for water using a special stick or rod, you can come to a special workshop on the practice of dowsing at Santa Fe Center for Spiritual Living. This is on Sunday from 1:30 to 4:30. Gary Plapp will be leading this workshop. It's called Photon Energy and the Transformational Influence of 2013. I don't know if you'd know it's about dowsing from the name, but come along and you could you could find much needed water here in Santa Fe.
You could. Good luck.
Good luck for all of us.
Really. So
There's another book reading I can tell you about.
Thanks.
Exploring New Mexico's Lost Decade, Archaeology in the Aftermath of the Pueblo Revolt of 1680. This is a talk by Harvard anthropology professor Matthew Liebman. It'll be Saturday night at 7 at the First Presbyterian Church of Santa Fe, 208 Grant Avenue. And best of all, it's free. Presented by the Harvard Radcliffe Club of New Mexico.
Excellent. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, Salsa Caliente, is happening at the Heart and Soul Dance Studio on the junction of Siler and Agua Fria on Saturday night with DJ Edgar, who was at El Farol. Sabor Cuban Salsa Live at the... and there's Cuban Salsa Live at the El Dorado Hotel Friday night and the Palace Restaurant Saturday night. Lots of different salsa things going on. So that's good news for the dancers in this world.
If you're more into Irish dance, you can come to Belisa and the Dance's Contemporary Spring Repertory Concert. There'll be 70 student dancers. They're performing at the James A. Little Theater tonight at 7 p.m. and also on Saturday night. It's at the James E. Little Theater at New Mexico School for the Deaf on Cerrillos Road. For more information, you can call Ticket Santa Fe, 988-1234, or ticketsantafe.org.
Now, you already talked with Stands with a Fist Contemporary Native Women Artists.
I did.
Okay.
Which is, it's a big weekend, as we said before, at the Museum of Contemporary Native Art.
And there we have a note from the Santa Fe Art Institute. And they're having a world premiere of a short documentary film created by young cancer survivor Jessica Olivas entitled Invincible After Chemo. The screening will be on May 30th at 6 o'clock, which is Thursday, at the Santa Fe Art Institute. And Jessica will hold a Q&A after the screening. And a very small fee to see the film, but proceeds will be donated to the Santa Fe Public Schools Adelante program, which supported Jessica during her chemotherapy treatments while she was attending Santa Fe High School. I mean, Capitol High School.
Obviously a really good cause, and I'm sure it's inspirational.
Totally.
There's an opening tonight at the Center for Contemporary Arts, the CCA. It's called Balancing Signal to Noise, featuring art by Zoe Blackwell, Brandon Soder, and Betsy Emile. This is in the Munoz Waxman Gallery in the Spectre Rips Project Space. It's at CCA tonight. There's a reception from 6 to 8. You can call 982-1338 for more information. And this show runs at the CCA through June 30th.
Excellent. Now, I'm trying to find the events at Collected Works Bookstore. Oh, here they are. Okay, so something that we have is the Collected Works Open Mic is on Sunday, and that's from 3 to 4:30, so I guess poets and talkers of all kinds can check that out. And then on Thursday of next week, the 30th, at 6 o'clock, Kim Mueller will be talking about the Chef's Collaborative Cookbook. And we're going to get her on the air next week, too, to talk about that. Always fun to do a little bit of cookbooking.
I'm always attracted to the quirkier events, and here's one. It's called Zubiquity, What Dolphin Diabetes Can Teach Us About Human Health. This is a talk on Thursday, May 30th. It's a talk by author Barbara Natterson Horowitz at the James A. Little Theater. Starts at 7:30. There is no charge. And again, it's about what dolphin diabetes can teach us about human health.
And that's no joke. That's a Santa Fe Institute event, and I'm actually going to have the authors, I think the both co-authors of that book, on the air next week sometime.
Quirky probably was not the word for it if it's a Santa Fe Institute event, but
I know,
it's an interesting topic.
Definitely interesting, and who would have thought? Okay, Works on Paper is an exhibition of photography, paintings, and etchings by artists at the New Concept Gallery. That's a very nice gallery at 610 Canyon Road. It's today from 5 to 7. For more information, newconceptgallery.com. And probably a lot of openings tonight. It'll be a beautiful night to walk around Santa Fe and look at art.
I agree. The weather could hardly get any better.
Except for if it rained and it was just this horrible,
okay,
cold, evil downpour, we would love it so much.
You're right. We would not complain at all.
I know. All right. What else? The Santa Fe Public Library is looking for candidates for the library board. And this may or may not seem exciting to you, but if it seems exciting to you, you should check it out. It's a volunteer position, and if you're interested, you can submit a letter of interest and resume to Maria Finley at the Santa Fe Public Library, and you can also, you can hand deliver them. Anyway, they have to be there by 5 o'clock on June 17th, so very nice thing to spend your time on.
There's some more classical music going on tonight at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation on 107 West Barcelona. Tonight, the Music on Barcelona series features the Music on Barcelona Ensemble performing music of Schoenberg, and a performance by the Santa Fe Flute Choir. It's from 5:30 to 6:30 at the Universalist Unitarian Church on Barcelona, and it's by donation.
Excellent. Now, I got a note from the screen about things that are going on, but when I look at it, it's saying June 9th, and that's not for a while. So we can whet your appetite by telling you that the Magic Flute is going to be by Kenneth Branagh, is going to be at the screen, but that's not for another week and a half. So
you know what looks really good at the screen to me? It's a documentary called Free the Mind. It's there right now. And it's a documentary about how yoga and meditation can help war veterans and other people suffering from PTSD recover.
Yeah, that would be a very good thing. Better than drugs, probably.
I think so. At least an interesting thing to explore. So worth checking out at the screen.
Definitely. What was it I saw something on, I can't remember what the source was, but anyway, it was talking about the greatest cure ever for depression, and it was exercise, and the greatest cure for arthritis, and it was exercise.
I'm a believer.
On and on. It's like, oh, exercise, right, I forgot about that. Can't we put that in a little pink pill? Guess not.
It would be
so
very convenient if we could, right? It's a good day to get outside, good weekend. It's also a good weekend for a TGIF recital tonight at the First Presbyterian Church of Santa Fe on Grant Avenue. This features violist Shanti Randall, whom I heard here is very good, and pianist Peggy Abbott. They'll be performing music of Bach, Rachmaninoff, and more. It starts at 5:30. It's at the First Presbyterian Church at 208 Grant.
And I got a note from KSFR's own Debriana Mancini, who does the news, and she has, there's an opening at the Caswick Gallery, and it's today. It's called From Pulp to Passion, Ernest Chiriaca Retrospective. It's celebrating this artist on his 100th birthday, and highlights from childhood and his illustration career, and there's all kinds of really beautiful art from what looks like cowboy illustration to very impressionist, beautiful kind of portraiture and flowers. So check that out. It's at 203 West Water Street in Santa Fe.
The Heath Concerts Rail Yard Concert Series continues tomorrow, Saturday the 25th, with the Bass Music Fiesta. It might be Bass Music Fiesta, I'm not sure.
Let's hope so.
It features DJ sets by Minnesota, Brotherhood Sound, and Mute Swan and the Infector. It's from 4 to 10 p.m. in Rail Yard Plaza, and it's free.
Excellent. I'm fresh out.
I can
they
find another
away.
One.
They're all gone. I'll look for some more, but go ahead.
How about the Jules Works Follies? It's a monthly variety show series. It's
is that coming up already?
It is. It's at Aztec Cafe tomorrow evening at 7.
Yay.
And, of course, Aztec is at 317 Aztec Street. Buy tickets at the door. And if you want more information, call 310-9997.
And there are all sorts of things, of course, going on at the Lensic, and I'm...
There definitely are. I can tell you about something that starts next week. We're really excited about it at the Lensic. It's Hershey Felder. It's a one-man performance by Hershey Felder called Leonard the Maestro, The Art and Life of Leonard Bernstein. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just getting ready for that because we're going to be talking to him, I think, on Friday, speaking of the arts.
That's right. He's really a wonderful and very talented man.
And he comes on stage as Leonard Bernstein and talks about his life, right?
He does. He speaks. He talks about his life. He's in character. He also plays music by Leonard Bernstein and others who have influenced him.
And hasn't he done that with, like, George Gershwin and other people like that?
George Gershwin, Chopin, I believe, and Beethoven. So it's kind of his thing, and he's been very successful at it. He's performed across the country to great reviews. He'll be at the Lensic May 31st, June 1st, and June 2nd. So it's next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And
Excellent. Please
call us. I'm sure we can find you some tickets, and I think it's something worth seeing.
Excellent. So, and don't forget the event that we talked about in the first part of this show, which is the hip-hop theater I'm just brain dead today, Diana.
I don't see your tea today, and I think that might be one of the issues.
He didn't bring me my caffeine.
I've solved the problem.
You have.
I have a great big cup next to me of coffee at the great coffee here at the Santa Fe Baking Company.
I am pre-caffeinated. Ladies and gentlemen, now you know the secret of radio. It has nothing to do with anything except actual caffeine.
And having fun, maybe, too. This is the one you were just talking about. It's at Momo.
Thank you.
And
Momo
Company,
and Company
Bakery. Yes. And it's Hakeem Bellamy and Daniel Banks.
Yes.
Reading from their respective works.
Now, what did you think about the gluten-free hip-hop waffles?
I would love to try it. I love waffles with or without gluten. And who's to say we shouldn't jump on the gluten-free bandwagon?
Who knows? I have found that I love the gluten-free pizza at Back Road Pizza.
I do too.
It's really good. And when I eat gluten-free stuff instead of gluten-full stuff, I feel better. I don't know why that is. My ancestors have been eating gluten for 7,000 years, so
maybe.
I'm not really sure what happened.
There's a lot of people who will tell you there's something to it, so maybe we should try it. If you like Irish music, multi-instrumentalist Jerry Carthy will be playing at the Rail Yard Farmers Market Pavilion on Sunday from 1 to 4. I'm sorry, he's from 10 to 1. Guitarist-vocalist Kendall Martell will be there from 1 to 4. It's outdoors, and it's free at the Rail Yard Artisans Market at the Rail Yard.
Excellent. And he's been playing for so long. He's wonderful.
He is wonderful. See him all over town.
Yeah. Working artists. What else? Is anything happening at the History Museum? There's almost always something happening at the History Museum. I've got something. Oh, no. There, again, because because my brain's not working. There's something, but you know, you can check out the ongoing Cowboys Real and Imagined exhibition, and there's various events that happen in conjunction with that, but just going over and checking out that exhibition is definitely worth it.
It seems like there's always something going on with that, and it is there through February, I believe. Nope, it's through March.
Excellent.
I think that El Rancho de los De las Golondrinas, which I can never say, usually has something going on too. This weekend it's kind of standard, which is always great. There's not a special festival, but you can go to Las Golondrinas and visit their Living Museum, which represents life in colonial New Mexico and the northern New Mexico. It's always open from 10 to 4, Wednesday through Sunday, all the way through September. They've got their summer hours, and it's a fun place to spend the day and learn while being outside in a very beautiful setting in La Cienega.
And what do we have for movies? Are there any good movies opening this weekend?
I don't know if this is Radio Cafe fair, but I did see in Pasatiempo that Rob DeWalt wrote about the new Star Trek movie opening, and he gave it 3.5 chilies.
Yes, this is Radio Cafe fair because we do have people who love Star Trek, including personal close friends of mine. Actually, I like Star Trek too. The movie No is still there. There's this film called the Source Family.
Oh yeah, I read about that one too.
That was Hollywood's favorite commune. Not sure if it's continuing on. The movie Jackie is about a woman and her sister who play twins on a quest to find their mother. It looks like it's a Dutch film because it's Carice van Houten, which is the Netherlands' leading actress. And The Angel's Share, which is about an ex-offender and new father who are embarking on an adventure with newfound friends. And they find a whiskey distillery, and things go on from there.
I wouldn't mind finding a whiskey distillery myself.
I know, especially if it had caffeine in it. I'd take it right now. And then Renoir is a piece, of course, about Renoir, and that's part of the French Film Salon, and that opens today. So lots of good stuff happening over at the CCA.
The Reluctant Fundamentalist also looks good. That's by Monsoon Weddings director Mira Nair.
Yeah, Nair, I think. She made one of the best films ever back in the day. Her very first film was called Salam Bombay. And nothing that she has made since was as good as that.
Really?
And I'm hoping that this is.
I hope so, too. It's got some pretty mainstream stars. It's got Kate Hudson, Kiefer Sutherland, and Liev Schreiber. But it looks like a little bit of a non-Hollywood mainstream movie. That's at the screen this weekend, and I might check that out.
Definitely.
PASA gave it 3.5 chilies again, so it's probably pretty good.
PASA doesn't give out 3.5 chilies just because. You have to earn those chilies.
Agreed. And the reviewer was Jonathan Richards.
Excellent.
Always a good trusted source.
He's fabulous. Great actor, great cartoonist, great writer. And I hear the music, which means it's time to go.
It's time to go.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Diana Delling is with us, speaking of the arts, and she's here now many Fridays with us. And we are streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. My email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org, and I welcome people writing and saying hello and telling us what they think of the show, and any comments or suggestions or anything else is always great. And stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, jazz, etc. with Helga Ancona. And I think her last hour is now Brazilian. And so we will see you around town. We will see you at the Lensic. Diana Delling
is
with the Lensic, which is Santa Fe's wonderful performing arts center. So have a fabulous weekend, and go get that dog and cat of the week.
Please do. And let's get some caffeine.
Excellent. Ciao.